Palestinian factions are preparing for a fresh round of talks with the Israelis within a week, but it's not clear if Israel is living up to its pledges in line with the ceasefire deal it signed with the Palestinians. Israel has, under a ceasefire deal with the Palestinians, pledged to allow efforts for reconstruction of the Gaza Strip that had badly damaged during the 51 days of bombardment in the summer. But it's still not clear whether and how this mechanism is working. While the cold days of day gradually approaching, stakes are high for more than 100,000 residents of Gaza who still remain homeless as the result of the recent Israeli war. The Israeli war killed more than 2,000 Palestinians, mostly civilians, and left more than 11,000 others injured. Let's speak to our correspondent Ashraf Shannon to get an understanding of what the situation is like in Gaza. And now, Ashraf, when the ceasefire was agreed upon, there was hope that things are going to change for the better in the Gaza Strip. The crippling siege, which has been in place for years now, would be lifted. What is the situation like, though?
Well, Kenny, the Israeli war on Gaza did stop on the 26th of last August. But the miserable situation in Gaza continues due to the inhumane Israeli blockade, which has only been complexed with the other blockade that we have, which south of Gaza, that's the Egyptian, what some people here call it, the Egyptian blockade, due to the constant closure of the only crossing that bypasses Israel, which is the Rafah crossing. Although it's open sometimes, but most of the time it's closed. Israel did not live up to its agreement through the indirect talks with the Palestinian factions. Israel was supposed to extend the fishing limit for the Palestinian fishermen gradually up to at least 9 nautical miles. So far, they only raised it to 6 nautical miles, but even fishermen who come close to the 5 nautical mile limit get shot at, and their boats damaged or they get arrested. The same situation also with the so-called buffer zone along the eastern perimeter of the Gaza Strip. The buffer zone, the so-called buffer zone, makes up to 25% of Gaza's most arable land, and farmers are not allowed to farm their land. That area is the food basket for Gaza. So not only that Israel keeps its tight blockade on Gaza. And let me quote Mr. Amjad Shawa of the Palestinian NGO, Palestinian non-governmental networks, PNGO, where he said that Israel did not lift the blockade. They only managed the blockade in a way. They tighten it some places and they loosen it other places. For example, they did not allow any raw materials for the factories in Gaza, although most of the factories in Gaza were destroyed by Israeli forces during the 50-day war. But they allow a few hundred Palestinians to reach the occupied city of East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, to hold prayers there, while at the same time they attack Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque and they increase settlement activities in the West Bank. A lot of people believe here that the war on Gaza wasn't what Israel said it was for, which is to curb the Palestinian resistance factions from firing homemade rockets. But basically it was to tighten the blockade on Gaza, possibly try to destroy the Hamas movement. And also some analysts believe there was an economic war against the Gaza Strip, where they destroyed most factories, destroyed thousands and uprooted thousands of trees in the Gaza Strip, destroying, for example, the olive harvesting season.
Right, and Ashraf, the reason that Israel can continue with this violation of the ceasefire agreement isn't it because the international focus and the focus of the mainstream media has shifted away from Gaza now that the war is technically over?
Well, the war is not over. What I personally believe is that Israel, with the help of the United States and some Western countries like the UK, they start skirmishes or wars in other parts of the world to distract the attention of the media from what's happening in Gaza. But the war on Gaza is still here. You know, maybe they're not firing bombs or firing rockets or shooting at people, but when you deny people the freedom of movement, when you deny people the basic supplies, when you deny people medicines, this is considered a war crime by any standard.
Right now, and before I let you go, Ashraf, the devastation caused by this Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip for 51 days left scars that run deeper than just destroyed infrastructure. There were entire families that were wiped out. There were children who are suffering long-lasting psychological damage from this war. And of course, there are many who have sustained injuries that have made them handicapped for life. How are they coping now that there is still this blockade on the Gaza Strip?
Well, they're not actually coping with anything. It's not that's not only the children of Gaza who are traumatized, with some of them witnessed three wars in the last 6 or 7 years. But when I talk to psychiatrists in Gaza and social workers, they tell me that most of the people of Gaza are traumatized and still traumatized. So it's not only the destruction, it's not the loss of life. Around 2,200 people were killed, including hundreds of children and women. Almost 12,000 people were injured. Many of them sustained severe injuries. So not only did Israel prevented doctors from coming in and treat them and allow medicines, they also prevented most of them from leaving Gaza to get a treatment abroad. Gaza needs immediate help from the international community. Not only the people of Gaza need food, electricity, and fresh water, and maybe water. Water systems to repair what Israel has destroyed. They destroyed the sewage system. They destroyed the water infrastructure in Gaza. Gaza's water was already polluted and unfit for human consumption even before this war. And the Israeli attacks only exacerbated the situation. So Gaza is in bad need for help, not only from Arab countries or neighboring countries, but they need help from the international community. Gaza is a disaster zone. Tens of thousands of homes were destroyed. Around 100,000 people became homeless. Yes, we only see them sometimes inside UNRWA schools, or some of them live under the ruins of their homes. But most of them managed to get some temporary shelter with friends and family. But the friends and family, the families that they have, they're not going to keep them there forever. You know, they have their own families to take care of. But so we need immediate intervention to solve this situation.
Well, as you said, the war continues against the Palestinian population of Gaza. Press TV's Ashraf Shannon, they're reporting from the Gaza Strip. Ashraf, thanks very much indeed. Now, Israeli police say that a new squad will be established to specifically deal with unrest in Jerusalem al-Quds. The announcement was made shortly after a group of Palestinians threw Molotov cocktails at an apartment taken over by Jewish settlers in Jerusalem al-Quds on Monday. The building was one of two structures housing 10 apartments that were seized by Jewish settlers before dawn on Monday, sparking fierce local opposition. The Jerusalem al-Quds police say that they are working on a comprehensive program and incorporating the latest technology and intelligence gathering for dealing with such incidents. The petrol bomb attack, no one was injured, there was no serious damage, and no arrests were made. Property seizures in the occupied territories have been strongly condemned by the international community. The UN chief says there would be no comprehensive deal, peace deal, that is, between the Israelis and Palestinians unless Tel Aviv ends its occupation of Palestinian land and fully lifts its siege on Gaza. Ban Ki-moon also noted that Israeli settlement activities are illegal and called on Tel Aviv to halt plans for new settlement units. The UN chief also criticized Israel for restrictions and provocations at holy sites in Jerusalem al-Quds. He expressed deep concerns over Israeli settlers' increasing attacks against the Palestinians. Ban urged Palestinians to address what he called Israeli security concerns. He added that both sides should avoid unilateral initiatives which hinder the so-called peace talks between Israelis and the Palestinians. He made the remarks at the UN Security Council.